Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Nothing better than playing a game seven. Lyman rejected, and now it's Marner, and he is stripped of the puck, and Gallagher on the counter, along with Stahl, scores! Brendan Gallagher has his first of the series, and Montreal strikes first in game seven. Here's Suzuki, scores! Tipped in front, it's a power play goal, and it's 2-0 Montreal. Austin Matthews, one goal on 34 shots in the series. Empty net, Tyler Toffoli scores, and it's 3-0 Montreal. Bijan blew again for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Montreal Canadiens are headed to Winnipeg for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Hey, Andrew Peters, get your golf clubs out. You got friends coming to visit.
Oh, I didn't realize they threw that in there at the end. That was clever, guys. I was already talking instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. I think that was Joe Bowen ripping on me a few years ago. You guys know what today's national day is? It's a national day. Before we get into the Leafs loss last night, what's today's national day? Hope everybody had a great long weekend.
I don't know. The day after Memorial Day?
It's the day after the...
June 1st? Like June 1st. So well, Memorial Day changes all the time.
It doesn't fall on the same day every year the last 4 years.
I don't have it. What is it?
It is National Smile at the Leafs Expense Day. It is like, you know, listen, I don't know how to start this. I hate you, Leaf fans. Is that a good way to start? I was sitting with last night, and I say that because I have so many friends back home. I'm in a big group chat, gentlemen, with my Leaf fan friends. And I can honestly tell you that there was a lot of gloating last night for me. A lot of gloating. I was sitting with someone who had money on the Leafs and someone who had a Leaf jersey on. And, you know, last night was exactly what I hoped for, and it was exactly what I wanted, and the Leafs did not let us down. That's all I can say. Good morning, gentlemen.
It's too easy morning. As Rivs is wearing his Montreal Canadiens jersey, hat, everything. The Boom Boom Joffrion jersey. I love it.
I cannot believe the epic fall of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the mighty Toronto Maple Leafs, going down to the small little Montreal Canadiens. It is a good day, gentlemen. And you know what? It was a great game, at least for the Montreal Canadiens. And you know what? There's a lot of bandwagon Toronto Maple Leafs fans that are going to have to go and get off the wagon and go and hide for the next couple months. Nothing better. I have my buddies phoning me. They're losing their marbles in Ontario. You know, all my buddies are just making excuse after excuse. Oh, John Tavares wasn't there and we didn't have this.
The Leafs were supposed to get them through the lockdown, Riv. The Leafs were, their playoff run was supposed to be. Now, this is what they're going to be doing all summer, watching the Leafs roll through everybody.
Petey, let me ask you this, because I know, listen, we are a passionate fan base here in Buffalo. We are very passionate. Now, I totally understand the Maple Leafs fans for being nervous when they got 3-2 in game five and then 3-3 in game six and going to game seven. The past history makes you nervous. But as you pointed out, like, they are so passionate and so worried to show that they're vulnerable that they lash at everybody. So I did a couple of, you know, TSN things, and I'm talking about the Leafs, Jack Campbell, and maybe he's fatiguing a little bit. My Twitter mentions were flooded, and I'm saying flooded with Leafs fans saying, you know, shut up, you backup. You know, Jack Campbell's the best goalie in the National Hockey League. If Freddie Anderson was in net, we would never win a playoff series. Like, it just, they just lash at everything. They don't want to show vulnerability.
Take nothing away from what that young man did this year. I thought he had
absolutely
a really good year. Great promise. But let me tell you
young
something.
Young man, he's 29.
Brandon, is he 29?
He's 29 years old.
All right, take it all back. But the Brendan Gallagher goal, the first goal,
bad goal,
not a bad goal, Marty. A bad goal is kind of like a redeflection or something, and you just, the goaltender doesn't track it well. This was terrible, terrible.
That's not a good game seven goal.
But that's not a how about this? Not a good goal, how about this? Marner, Matthews, and Willie Nylander had one shot on goal after 40 minutes of play yesterday.
One shot on goal. And I'm going to tell you why. Don't go there.
Why?
Do not put William Nylander in the suck category for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You're right. Okay.
Don't do it. Don't do what you just did. Because there's two guys that should be getting roasted right now. William Nylander is not one of them. So take it back. I refuse to have someone throw him into, this is why they lost. Did you watch Austin Matthews last night play this game seven? Did you watch him?
Not good. No.
What happens in Toronto? What do they do here? What do they do here? Is there a panic button that's going to be hit? Well, what are the excuses going to be?
There's going to be change again because they're a team that has a really big salary cap. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, they didn't have Jake Muzzin. Let's throw this in there. Jake Muzzin,
but they did have him for them.
They did have him for five and six.
Okay, but in a game,
they were up 3-1 in games.
Yeah, but you still want to have him. Like, you still want to have him in your game seven. I mean, losing him, that's a tough loss.
Well, listen, Montreal would love, and I mean love, to have Jonathan Drouin, who is one of their top forwards on their team. They would love to have him, but they're not making excuses right now, and they never did once in the entire series. So either should Toronto.
All right, I'm not making excuses for them. I was just saying that was a bit of a factor when I heard.
Yeah, but again, I think it goes back to what Rivs is saying. They have a huge salary cap. Okay, so where is their salary cap all spent? Spent on, you know, really four players, right? You got Matthews making $11.6 million, Tavares making $11 million, Marner making $10.9 million. And then after that, you know, those three guys taking the majority of it. But the depth on defense, they said, oh, we got to boost our defense. We got to boost our defense. Well, you know, you still have Morgan Rielly at $5 million and TJ Brody at $5 million. I mean, are they good defenders? Are they guys that you get to the playoffs and you say they're going to shut things down, right? Like, even Shea Weber in his old age, I would think, here's a guy that can play the playoff, like, grind and cross check and that type of game. Ben Sherratt, he can't play that game. I don't think the Leafs really did that. They acquired some veterans, yes, and Spezza and Thornton, and they went and got Wayne Simmons, and they got some grit. But I still don't think that defensively they were good enough to be able to play in the playoffs. And
listen,
that show.
I mean, is the goaltending an issue in Toronto? Is Campbell an issue in Toronto?
No, and Freddie Anderson was never the issue either. Great. People like to blame Freddie Anderson, but he wasn't the issue.
So when you go and look at the defense core in Toronto, you have Jake Muzzin. Guy's a battle-tested. He's unbelievable. I love him. And yes, Petey, not having him in that game definitely hurts. But Morgan Rielly is world-class. TJ Brody was incredible throughout this series and all year long. Justin Hall,
He's pretty good.
He is a very good defenseman. And then you take this Rasmus Sandin. He is excellent. He is literally excellent. They had Zach Bogosian. Their defense core is not an issue.
Yeah, no, okay? Ribs.
Where does it go wrong, Marty?
Ribs, where does it go wrong? Rasmus Sandin is really good on the power play, but at 5-on-5, he had some blunders in the games that he played, especially in game 5.
How many years he played in the league?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can't say that Sandin's a really good defenseman. He's not right now. He's a younger kid. I get that, but he's not right now.
Are we going to sit here and say that Rasmus Ristolainen or Dahlin is a great defender?
No, but we know that's not what he's supposed to do.
Learn with time. Well, I mean, the Sundin and Rasmus Dahlin are very similar in the way that they play. They're exceptionally good at moving the puck out of the zone. They're exceptionally good on the power play. They lack a little bit of knowledge on the defense, but that will come with time. I think Rasmus Sundin is an outstanding young player at the age of 21. That's all I'm saying. I'm like, they have Travis Dermott, who is a very good young player. Their defense core, I really like. So you like your goaltending, you like your defense core, you got younger, you got older. Then you look at, like, do they have toughness? Do they have size? Yes. Yes, they do. Where did this go wrong? I mean, come on, man. You know what? Come on. Let's not beat around the bush.
Your big guns Austin didn't Matthews. Show up. Your big guns didn't show up.
I don't care how many goals he scored during the season.
So does all this fall on Austin Matthews then? Is that what you're saying?
It's Matthews and Marner. You
win and lose with your best players.
I actually thought, look, I'll say this. Matthews got his chances. He didn't score. And I didn't like that he didn't show that fight. Like, I'm going to go and fight for every puck in front of the net, and maybe one is going to go off my back or my head or something and go in. Like, look at Corey Perry's goal yesterday. It goes off his leg. You got to make your bounce. But Marner's the one that I was very, very disappointed and puzzled on. I love Mitch Marner. I think he's a fantastic player. He didn't show any emotion towards the game. Like, it's the playoffs. You need to ramp it up emotionally and come back to the bench sometimes and be mad, be pissed off. And even in the game yesterday, you watch him. He comes back to the bench. They show him on the bench, and he's just kind of like has his head down a little bit, like – it needed a kick in the rear end, yeah. And Marner, you know, especially, and Matthews needed to do it.
Needs a little bit of Brendan Gallagher attitude.
I get that, but Brendan Gallagher or Mitch Marner, which player do you take?
100% I'm taking Mitch Marner.
Absolutely. So he doesn't have...
That's not the point. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's
Brendan Gallagher is 5'3". He looks like he's 100 pounds. And he is like a ferocious guy all over the ice. He's going in front of the net, in the corners. He's going head first. He's blocking shots. He always seems like he's angry and irritated, and he's always going back to the bench, and he's got so much jam and spunk to him that it's like, oh my God.
I think that's why Montreal won, Craig.
Half of that.
Yeah, Montreal won because they're star players. Have some of that.
Well,
Toronto star players Gallagher, don't really have much of that.
Gallagher had he scored a goal in game 7. I don't want to say Gallagher was very noticeable in the previous 6 games, but yes, Gallagher has that. But if you have Mitch Marner's skills and Gallagher's gumption, what does that give you? Brad Marchand. That's what it is, really. Like, Brad Marchand's a mix of Mitch Marner and Brendan Gallagher together. There's very few players like that around the league. But Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, those guys are the skill guys, and they needed to show up, and they did in that series. I mean, Kotkaniemi and Caulfield did not play in game 1 because Dominique Ducharme, the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, wanted to trust his veteran. It's playoffs. And then when he put him into game 2, yes, they lost game 2, 3, and 4, but Montreal really looked different and got themselves going. And Caulfield, Kotkaniemi, Suzuki, those guys really stepped it up, where Matthews, Marner, they really didn't.
Well, that's disappointing because they are world class. We're talking top 10 players in the world. Yeah. Okay. Austin Matthews needs a pulse. because he did not show, he looked like this was an exhibition game at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And that's not what you want to see from one of the best goal scorers in the world. You want to see that jam. He's 6'3", 225 pounds. He's an absolute beast. He floated around the entire game, and his mentality is get the puck to me and I will shoot and score, instead of actually going out and getting out of his comfort zone and doing things that it takes to win in the playoffs.
How many penalty minutes did Matthews have in this series? Zero. He didn't get himself in any battle position where you're like, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to give somebody a punch.
He could have got 2 minutes for smiling when he was getting ragdolled by the guys in the corner, and he's just not even fighting back.
Exactly. And that's Toronto, because that's Matthews and the Toronto Maple Leafs saying, we're better than you. We don't need to fight you. We don't need to punch you back. We're going to win this.
I like that.
In the end, you're looking back and you say, you know what? Like, you should have turned around and sucker punched the guy and says, I'm not going to let you
Matthews
do that to me.
Job to do that. That's not, it's not. That's not his job.
But you got to play out of character.
They were about to go on a power play.
Petey, you got to play out of character. You know that. You know that if Nathan MacKinnon gets ragdolled, he's going to turn around and punch somebody. Landeskog,
no, he's not.
Their captain, fought Shen in game one of the St. Louis series. They have a little bit more. Yes, they have that in them.
Yes, Colorado does. Yes, I don't necessarily know that Nathan MacKinnon would turn around and sucker punch somebody, but I don't want to lose focus on what we're saying here. Joe Thornton, do we not hurt at all for Joe Thornton? I watched last night, and I think, you know, Riv, you sit here and you wear your Montreal stuff all day, and I think about, have we seen him play his last game in the NHL? Maybe.
Well, I can. He's 40. He's 41 years old. He's going to be 42 in another month. Okay, 42 years old. And yes, there are some players that have extended their careers. Dana Chara, you know, Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau's. These are the elite of the elite in the game when they're in their primes. And I had the opportunity to play with Joe Thornton in his prime. And he was something special. He was truly something special. But you have to remember, when I played with Joe, it was probably 12 years ago. I just think that, you know, Joe is, he's a world-class player, but I just think at this point in time, he's certainly, and I think he knows it, and he's getting to the end, but do I think he can play still? Yes. At what role is he going to play in? That's the question mark. And it's going to be ultimately up to Joe. I think there's going to be teams that would love to have him. He does so much for a dressing room, to galvanize a dressing room, that I think it's, he's an asset somewhere.
But is he a better asset maybe as an assistant coach or as a player development guy that comes in and can have that leadership and still have that influence in a group, or as a guy that you're dressing? Because if you have Joe Thornton, you're not sitting him out. You're not putting Joe Thornton in a press box as a healthy stretch. Yeah. That's not happening.
But I think that's if that is the case, and Joe is near that point of being a healthy scratch because they can put a better player in on that night, then isn't that telling you that it's time to kind of move on in life and hang up the skates?
Well, yeah.
And you asked me, do you think that Joe will, you know, be a coach or something like that? I don't know if I could see Joe picking up, moving to Switzerland with his wife and his kids. And, you know, that's where he met his lovely wife. And I could see them kind of going over there and just kind of living a different lifestyle, to be honest with you. He's a different guy. He's a really different guy. He's a great guy. I know he loves the game, but it's it'll be really interesting to see what he does.
He was the only reason why I would have enjoyed seeing the Leafs advance, to be honest with you. Because
Nick Foligno. You know,
that's Nick guy Foligno. Nick Foligno,
in.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nick Foligno, great player, great family, this, that, and the other. but I mean, I could
Wayne
care
Simmons.
Less.
Wayne Simmons. I wanted Wayne Simmons.
I don't care
to
about
keep
Wayne
going.
Simmons either. Great player. I loved playing against him, loved watching him. But let me tell you something. Joe Thornton is the only guy on Toronto that I was cheering for because it's really hard. And that was even hard. Because I don't
in Toronto for me was like Ray Bourque going to Colorado. I mean, you know, if he won, to me, Joe Thornton may go down as arguably, and I mean, I haven't looked at the list. There's a great list, arguably one of the greatest players to never win. And for me, that's why when I'm watching this, all I kept thinking about was Ray Bourque with Colorado and how emotional that was and how the whole hockey world was watching because of just how dominant Ray Bourque was his entire career.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's going to be a long summer for Toronto and Toronto fans. There's going to be just that heaviness, that unsatisfaction that they didn't get accomplish what they set out for. And ultimately this team was not set out to make the playoffs. This team was not set up to beat the Montreal Canadiens in the first round. This team was out to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
They are an exceptionally good hockey team, goaltending, defense, and the forward line. This is a very, very good hockey team. And they did not get it done.
Marty, is there a
decision?
Now
you're going to ask questions about what happens next.
I was just going to say to Marty, do you think there's any question of Kyle Dubas' security there as the general manager?
There's no... I don't think there's a conversation on Kyle Dubas or Sheldon Keefe. I think those two are trying to put it together. Listen, they dominated the North Division all year. They have two of the best, maybe even three of the best, if you consider Tavares best hockey players in the league. They just need to figure it out. I mean, here's the thing. This year in the playoffs, more than any other years, I believe, we saw that playoff hockey is a different animal than regular season, especially when in the regular season you only play the same seven teams. Like every division had to play this year. Like the four of the best players in the National Hockey League right now are out in the first round. McDavid and Draisaitl in Edmonton lost to Winnipeg, and it's playoff hockey, and they suffocated Draisaitl and McDavid, and that's what playoff hockey will do. Matthews and Marner are out of this year's playoffs, and Montreal suffocated Matthews and Marner and did a fantastic job. Now, listen, Colorado is a different beast, and there's some great players around, but four of the best players in the National Hockey League are not in round two because the playoffs are different. That's just the way it is. Playoff hockey is a different animal.
Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Diss or Dak coming up next. We're just kind of breaking down game seven in the Leafs series. I don't know where they go from here, gentlemen. I don't know that Dubas' job is not in question. I mean, I don't think he gets fired, but I mean, I start to think, he put all this together, did he not? Didn't he sign Tavares? Didn't he sign Matthews to that deal and Marner and Nylander?
He brought in Thornton, he brought in Spezza, he brought in Foligno, brought in Muzzin, TJ Brody.
Good moves, I must say. Good moves. They're all great moves. You know, very envious of those moves when they made them. But at the same time, when they don't work, is it just kind of, you know, let's go back to the same, like try a different formula with the same people? Or do you try a new formula with a new front office?
The way you look at it, PD.
The pressure in Toronto is crazy.
Well, look at it this way, okay? If you had to rank a general manager's job in the last couple of years, Kyle Dubas or Marc Bergevin, which one would you say did the best job in the last couple of years?
Absolutely Kyle Dubas.
Yeah. Kyle Dubas is the best job, but Bergevin won around the preliminary round yet last year against Pittsburgh and won around this year. But he brought in like Stahl and he brought in Corey Perry and he got lucky. As a GM, you have to get lucky. And Bergevin, where everybody thought this guy is going to be out of a job, he keeps coming back and keeps getting it done. It's so weird.
You know what is interesting? I just wanted to kind of go
his
back.
His biceps keep getting bigger too.
Oh my God. Did you see his red jacket yesterday? His suit?
Wow. He's a sharp dressed man. I will say that. And in incredible shape. I mean, he's a GM of a team. I mean, talk about like a complete package. But anyway, Riv, you're about to say, there he is. There, we're showing
him. Look at that suit.
Look at this guy. Look at the hair. I mean,
So his whole hockey staff, the side note here, like he has Marty Lapointe on his hockey operation staff, right? Have you seen Marty Lapointe lately?
No.
No, I have not.
He was always a big guy, right? A little stocky big guy, like his shoulders and neck. Like they probably all work out together and just try to be as big as they can be. Like it's pretty comical.
Why is Marty Lapointe like still thick?
Oh, yeah, still thick.
Let me ask you this question about Bergie.
But a good thick.
This question about Bergie right there.
Yeah.
Do you think he knows that the camera right there as he's walking up is in the hall, is on in the hallway? Is he watching a monitor around the corner and saying, okay, now's my time to go. Now's the time to walk right now because you know the camera's in the hallway. Get when the players are all getting ready. Does he know this camera is there?
He knows the camera's there. I don't know that he knows that they are. I don't think they're live either. I think they just record and then show it later.
Okay.
But he knows the camera's there. He knows I come around the corner. I better have my walk. I better have my hands in my pocket.
Yeah. Do you think he tucked the hair behind the ear before he went around the corner?
You know the amazing thing about
Fabio like, with the hair back.
You know the amazing thing about Bergevin is. And you might have heard the same thing, Marty. I heard he was just like one of the ultimate teammates.
Yes.
Players that played with him absolutely loved him. He was super fun, very sarcastic, loved to joke around with the guys, always doing pranks and stuff like that, keeping things loose. I heard he was just a really fun teammate to be around.
So here's the story that I heard. So he went to Pittsburgh a couple of times in his career. Like he left and came back. And the stories that I heard is Mario Lemieux said, you know what, we may not have a good year on the ice, but at least I'm going to enjoy myself off the ice and in the locker room and at practice. So I want this guy. I want Mark Bergevin in this locker room because I want to enjoy and have fun. That's all Bergevin. So Mario Lemieux brought him back twice so that he could have a good time. As simple as that. Like if Big Mario wants you on this team because you're a fun guy, a good guy, you're a good locker room guy.
Oh, that's an unbelievable. I love hearing anything involving Mario Lemieux. To me is just like an all-time story. Instigators, we got to go to break. I did hear quickly, Mario Lemieux, did you guys ever hear this story? I can't remember who the player was. I'll tell you who the player was at the break, but there was a player, big tough guy, playing in Pittsburgh, and he was sitting on the plane, and I think Lemieux's nickname was Ace. Was it Ace? And the guy goes, hey, Ace, and he slides over a two-year contract, like, because Lemieux owned the team, so it was after he came back, and he was on a napkin. He goes, 600, 650. I'm going to find out the guy's name. I know who it is, actually. And he slid it over. He goes, hey, Ace, what do you think? Like this. And Lemieux looked at it, slid it back, and I think the guy got traded in a matter of weeks. I'm going to tell you guys the player is at the break, but I'm 100% confident that story is true. We'll go to break. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG, coming back with This or That.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more of The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back, Instigators, on WGR 550 and MSG. This or that time. I actually got my first haircut planned this afternoon from the time I shaved my head from Ball for Bucks. So
what are you going to do with that, Marty?
I'm just gonna like fade in the sides a little bit this year. The horns are getting a little long, so just gotta clean it up, clean the neck.
I don't think you should do that. I think there's another thing you should do instead. Riff. Fade the sides, or just kind of like do like a horseshoe bald spot on the top, kind of like right
shave
here.
Shave the top. George Constanza.
Yes.
Like shave the top and leave the sides.
Yes.
I don't know that I'm that ballsy, I'll be honest with you.
That's
to do it.
That would be, and then shave it, but then use the Bic razor to finish.
Oh, I'd have to call Duffer on that one.
Take it right down to
help me out. Okay, time for this or that. We talked plenty about the Leafs, so let's move on from that. Ryan Reeves got a 2-game suspension for roughing. There was also an intent to injure conversation. Ryan Graves in game one of the Golden Knights Colorado Avalanche series. So the player safety got that right with a 2-game suspension. Yes or no, this or that. PD, we'll start with you. What do you think?
I've watched the video several times and I'm still looking for the suspension.
Okay.
I'm sitting here and I'm thinking,
So some things we don't see here, PD, and I'll tell you this, is both Ryan Reeves, the linesman, and everybody said that Ryan Reeves pulled a chunk out of Ryan Graves' hair while underneath the pile. That's where they feel that crossed over the norm of a scrum when you pull a guy by the hair and you rip the chunk of his hair out. So that's maybe why they decided to suspend. I'm not saying that's the sole reason, but something.
Now, he was doing this for clarification, Riv. He was doing this to answer to a hit on, was it Janmark?
Janmark, yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I guess they got it right. I guess they got it right. There's still some they missed, but this one seems fine, I guess.
Okay, Rivs, this or that, they got it right or wrong on the Reeves suspension? What do you think?
Well, there's a few things that I look at. I too, when you look at this, this has happened many, 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 many times where there's a scuffle in front of the net, guy falls, guys go down, they rest a little bit, they get broken up and they go to the box. But when you talk about, according to Department of Player Safety, both Reeves and the officials acknowledge that Reeves pulled a chunk of Ryan Graves' hair from his head.
Yeah.
What?
That's not something that's allowed.
That's not allowed whatsoever. But again, Graves has his helmet on the entire time. And on top of that, I was looking, to try and find, if I could see, Ryan Reeves pulling that hair, and he has his gloves on. He has his hockey gloves on.
Well, they said it happened. So it did happen at some point.
Okay.
All
right.
Do you agree or not agree? This or that?
I certainly don't agree. If he's being suspended because of the altercation and them going to the ice and wrestling around, I don't think that's a suspendable play. Okay. But if you're telling me that he pulled a chunk of hair out of a player's head, then yes, he should be suspended longer than 2 games.
So here's the thing, the way I see it, they didn't give Tom Wilson anything. They gave him a $5,000 fine for something very similar, where he grabbed Panarin by the hair and slammed him on the ice. Now they say
very
it was
different
a
situation as far as
I get what you're saying, different situation. I didn't think they were going to suspend Ryan Reeves. I thought it deserved at least a one-game suspension, but I didn't think the league was going to do it. So I'm fine with giving him 2 years. Reeves was actually on the ice looking to hurt people way before that. It was 6-1. It was blowout. So I thought the referee handled it right. They gave a 9-minute power play. They just suffocated everything, and we moved on. Okay, let's move on. I don't know if you guys have a preference, but Boston's top line with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak is being called the perfection line because they're really good. And Colorado's top line of MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen has been just on fire. Which one's the better line in hockey right now? Colorado's top line or Boston's top line? Rivs, you go first.
Well, the fun thing about this is we've actually talked about these two lines for not just this last year, but a number of years. Colorado with Landeskog, Rantanen, and MacKinnon have been, as far as I'm concerned, the second best line in hockey. Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand have been number one for a number of years. I don't even understand how you can pick out of these two. I would, me personally, I would want the Boston because I love Bergeron for his Selke Trophy defense, but he also scores a ton of points. You have Pasternak, one of the greatest goal scorers in the game. As far as I'm concerned, Brad Marchand is a top two or three player in the NHL right now. He is absolutely unbelievable.
So who are you picking, Boston?
Boston.
Okay, Petey, this or that, which one is the better line, Colorado's top line or Boston's top line?
I think I would have said Boston as well, because we're just more familiar with them. We've seen them so many times over the years playing against the Sabres and whatnot. But Colorado, man, I mean, that line is just unbelievable. And I think that's going to be the line that leads their team to a Stanley Cup final. I hope it's against Boston, to be honest with you. I think that would be unbelievable. But, yeah, I'm going to go with MacKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog for sure. How does Pierre Maguire say Rantanen again?
Petey, Miko Rantanen.
If those two teams end in the finals together, who is going to be the better line going against each other?
Probably Boston.
You think? I don't know. I think that MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen is just, they can defend too. They don't have Patrice Bergeron type. I won multiple Selke, but they can defend as also.
I can't speak to the, I can't speak to the defensive expertise of Colorado, but I think everybody knows what Bergeron and Marchand can do and how good Pasternak is at scoring. So, yeah. You know, there's an element to that.
Ask you this, Rivs. I'll go into your domain right now with the next one. Who's the better D right now, Victor Hedman or Cale Makar? This or that? And that's another Colorado angle because one is very highly offensive. The other one's got an all-around game. Which one's the better D, Makar or Hedman? This or that?
It's like you putting like a Ferrari and a Lamborghini in front of me and saying, which one do you like better?
You got to pick one. You can't drive both of them.
I would, you know, if I'm going to win a championship, I would probably pick Victor Hedman because he is a better defender. He is big. He can skate. He plays power play. He plays penalty kill. He logs insane minutes. He's just the prototypical elite defenseman in the game right now, where Cale Makar, I think, is the best offensive defenseman in the National Hockey League, period. But I'll take Hedman.
Petey, this or that, Hedman or Makar?
I think I gotta go with Hedman as well, for all the reasons that Riv just mentioned. But, I mean, that's not a slight to Cale Makar. I mean, if the conversation is between you and Hedman, I don't think you should be offended by that, Cale, so...
No, you shouldn't. I would go with Hedman as well. But Makar, man, a gold 3 assists last game. He was really good. He moves like the wind. He's so slick on his skates. So that's good. Okay. You look at Vegas right now. The odds on winning the cup is basically Colorado leading the way and then the field. So I'm asking you, if you had to put $100 on a bet to win the cup right now, would you pick Colorado or the field, this or that? Rivs will go first with you because PD's drinking water right now.
100% on the field. No question about it.
So the field.
As much as I love Colorado, I think they are fantastic. And yes, they They made a statement against Vegas Golden Knights and spanked them 7-1, a very, very, very strong team. That being said, there's still some monsters lurking in the weeds right now. And you've got the Islanders, you've got Boston, you've got Tampa Bay, you've got the best team in the league this year in Carolina still alive. Like, there are some really, really,
didn't
really
say the Islanders.
You did say the Islanders.
Oh, did you?
That was the first team I said. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Why would you? I feel bad for the TV producers and the big bosses that when the Islanders are in, it's like putting you to sleep. Even last night's game, like, come on. They had 8 shots halfway in the game or whatnot. But I understand they win games. So they did win yesterday. So you're saying the field, Rivs, right?
Yes.
Okay. PD, this or that, the Colorado Avalanche or the field to win the cup if you had to put a money on it?
The field. And although I do think Colorado could and will probably advance, we've seen teams lots of times get blown out 6-1, 7-1 in playoff games, and the team that loses comes back and wins the next game. So I'm not writing off Vegas just yet, but there's too many good teams to just pick one right now.
There is a lot of good teams. Yeah. And I think Tampa is probably the closest to Colorado right now. I'm watching Tampa play, and they
is the closest. How about Colorado is the closest to Tampa?
Well, Colorado's the favorite. Tampa,
are they?
Yes, they are. That's what Vegas says, and that's what I say, so that must be true.
Tampa's all still right. The champs until they get
are,
the off the
they
Tampa
are
Bay. It's theirs to lose with the lineup they have.
You
I'm
think
sorry.
Tampa would? Okay, they Tampa went to a game 7
the
against the Florida Panthers.
Vasilevsky. They have an incredible defense core. They have super, super elite forwards. They've got grinders, hitters. They've got everything. Tampa Bay is a monster. They are a monster. And it's actually, they should have an asterisk beside when they win the Stanley Cup this year, because what are they over 17, 18 million over the cap?
Well, no, they were in long-term IR, bud.
Long-term IR, whatever. Come on. They stuck two of the best players in the entire world, had them off their cap all year long, and then just decide to stick them back, and the guy is leading the points.
Make up your mind if that bothers you or not, because last week it was like, you know, whatever. And now, oh, no, I guess you weren't like that because they beat Florida. Never mind. Wrong person.
No, from day one, it's complete crap what just happened here.
It's not complete crap. It's the way that the cap
There's
works.
18 million over the cap, and the next closest team is
the league.
It is complete crap, and I can't believe more people aren't angry about it. That's what I think is unbelievable. I can't believe there are more executives around the league unless they're just not saying it open. How angry they are about something like this being.
Petey, it's very simple. It is a way to use the CBA to your advantage. Why isn't there more teams doing the same thing? Why isn't there more teams?
Can't
using
win without players like that. Where Tampa Bay is just so stacked.
Exactly. Tampa Hence Bay the made reason- the playoffs. If they were like in such dire straits for Kucherov and Stamkos, and they were in jeopardy of not making the playoffs, it would have been a different thing. Most teams can't like just take a chance and say,
Artie,
well,
where did Tampa Bay finish in the season this year?
Third in the Central.
I'm not asking about that. Where were they in the entire league? Six?
Yeah, because the Central between Carolina, Florida, and Tampa.
So you're talking about the sixth best team in the National Hockey League without Nikita Kucherov and Steve Stamkos.
Okay,
now, all of a sudden, you're going to tell me that we're going to keep these guys out, because here's the thing. Could Kucherov have played? Yes, he could have played. He could have played at the end of the year. You know what they did? They kept him out because that would have screwed up their entire cap.
Okay,
right?
But Rivs, the way
I think
you
about
say
teams
it,
like
okay?
Chicago that had to dismantle their teams after winning Stanley Cups.
Thank
because
you.
They had so many good players that they had to pay. So Tampa Bay, technically or essentially, whichever word you want to use, probably should have lost some players last year, much like Chicago did. Like, all we did was sit there and say, what are they going to do exactly after this season? Then what they do is they know that they have so many good players that they're going to have to pay because they just want a cup, that they can afford to sit Kucherov on the side. Like, you look at their roster, it does not take Rocket Appliances. Okay.
Rocket Appliances.
I know that's a Trailer Park Boys Rickyism. It does not take Rocket Appliances to figure out that if you take Kucherov off of that team, you still have a very, very good hockey team. Yes. You take Stamkos off that team with Kucherov, you still have an unbelievable hockey team.
A top six team in the league.
You have a top six team in the league.
Let me ask you this, okay? If the Tampa Bay Lightning don't have Kucherov and Stamkos in their roster, okay? They build their roster, they play, and at a deadline, they go out and acquire Kucherov and Stamkos, which puts them over the cap, but they saved money beforehand, and then they can add those players, okay?
They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
Huh?
They wouldn't have made the playoffs.
That's not the point. You're just saying they have good enough team to make the playoffs without Kucherov and Stamkos. Now, you add them at the deadline. You make a trade for them at the deadline, okay? You trade 4 first-round picks for one and you know, tons of prospects for the other one. Okay, you still go over the cap. That's still part of the whole, you know, money in, money out. Like, it's the same thing. Like, Boston is over the cap right now by bringing in Taylor Hall and bringing in other players. But they did it at the deadline and more. I understand that hiding a player in long-term IR is different.
Well, what did they just do?
Hiding a player.
What?
Hiding a player.
Acquiring a player at the deadline is much different than hiding a player roster that makes $9.5 million that if he's healthy, completely screws that general manager over because he's got to go and make moves.
Drop the mic.
Okay, it's my segment.
There's much difference. It's totally different when something is premeditated at the start of the year to help you later on than something where you say at the deadline, we need to acquire something and go over the cap for whatever reason.
We've talked about it. The guy got hip surgery. The league looks into it and they say, okay, well, he got hip surgery. You can put him on long-term IR. And he comes back when you guys want him to come back. Now, if you are going to hold him for 2 months, that's a different thing. If he's ready January 1st and the season ends in April, that's different. But if he was to be ready late March and the season ends in April, there's nothing they can do about it. It's just the way it is.
So they chose to have the surgery in December, right? But knew he needed the surgery when?
Well, I don't know. They won the cup.
In September?
In late September or whatever.
Late September. So the point is that he knew in late September. So instead you wait all of October, all of November, all of December. So therefore, if you had done it in September,
you don't know that he would have chose to do it in September and October, just like we don't know that Jack in the situation with Jack Eichel right now, they said, we'll wait 12 weeks. Maybe he could have done something 12 weeks ago. Maybe the doctors over there says, let's wait 12 weeks as well. We don't know that.
Marty, so, you're a smart guy. We've been around enough. We've known enough people that have had hip surgeries. My brother's had a hip surgery. And I can tell you that when you need a hip surgery, you know when you need a hip surgery and you know you're going to have the hip surgery.
Listen, I am not Kucherov and I understand what you're saying. I get it. But it's, well, anyway, it's in the rules and everybody signed off on the rules and everybody's got to be okay with the rules and that's the way it goes. But anyway, that was this or that. We got to take a break here. We're already late for the break. We'll have a short segment coming up. What are we talking about later, Petey? Are we talking about Jack Eichel a little bit?
Talk about a few guys on Tampa Bay that we might want. About a little Blake Coleman and
It looks like Tampa Bay might have a salary cap issue after the season.
Kucherov is going back on long-term IR.
Kucherov's
going to
have the other hip done.
Okay, we'll be right back here on WGR 550 and MSG. This is The Instigators.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Great question from Rivs, and we'll talk about it in the other side on the other side of the break. And the question goes a little something like this. Who had a more disappointing season, the Sabres or the Leafs? It's a great question. One was looking to bolster their roster to get in the playoffs, and try to get close to the playoffs. The other majorly bolstered their roster to win a Stanley Cup. Yeah. So it's very interesting. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, a day that will directly affect the Sabres' future. The NHL draft lottery, once again, the Sabres have the highest odds at 16.5 or 16.6%. 16.6%. And that'll take place tomorrow. So in honor of that, Boom Boom Jeffrey on, who joined the show today, Craig Rive, will do the draft lottery simulator one more time before we head to hour number two.
And all right.
Hit the button there, Mr.
Beck. Tell me when you're ready. Okay, we are picking
third again.
Oh, yes, Seattle first, Columbus is second. We are picking third.
Well, let's hope for a better outcome, eh, boys?
To be honest with you, Seattle doesn't want to pick first. They don't, well, not that they don't want to pick first, but they'd love to make a trade with a team right now and say, hey, we need assets right now. So this number one overall pick could be moved for Seattle if they were to get that.
Really? Interesting, Marty. Very interesting. I would have thought they would, if they hit first overall pick, I thought they would want to make that pick.
I think they're making that pick. If they're picking second overall, they might want to think about trading down.
It's interesting. It's
again, we all talk about trading down, but who really wants to move up in this trade? Like, this is not a Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews type trade. This is a, okay, there's good players. There's great players. Yep. But who wants to trade up? Like, everybody's talking, oh, if the Sabres get third, they should trade down. Who's going to trade up to three? Who? Who's going to be willing to trade up to three?
I have one.
Tell us when we come back.
Yep, there's one team.
Okay, well, stick around to hear that. And who had the more disappointing season? Sabres or the Leafs? We'll talk about that. Instigators, WGR 550 or NMSG. That could have been a diss or dat, Marty. Could have been a great diss or dat. We'll be right back. Hour number two, Instigators.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.